Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Lamed Aleph. We are in Lamed. We got to the top of Lamed Amud Beis. Let's go back to the very bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. We're going to start with the Gemara this morning after going over numerous cases where you have three brothers, two of them marrying two sisters, and a third brother who's married, but not to a sister, just simply stumped to a woman. And in yesterday's daf on Lamed Amud Aleph, we had four series of cases that came rat-tat-tat one after another. Each one of them was, so what we are expected to do is figure out, so the who got married to whom, who died at what point in time, the issues of Erva, Tsaras Erva, Zika, Yesh Zika, Ein Zika. So it was a lot thrown at us in yesterday's daf. Okay, good. And in this parak, so in the third parak, so we're going to go and cover a number of cases where you have three brothers and two of them married to two sisters, et cetera, et cetera. This is a textbook construct in terms of exploring and identifying various cases within Yibam, Erva, Tsaras Erva, et cetera, et cetera. In the last Mishnah that we did yesterday, on the very bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph, so we covered a case where you had three brothers, two of them were married to two sisters, a third was married just to a woman, and what happens is the following, and follow carefully. So number one, one of the brothers got divorced. So that's a new wrinkle, which we didn't see in any of the previous cases. And so one of the brothers who was married to one of the sisters got divorced. So again, I had his Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi was married to the non-sister. And so let's say that Shimon got a divorce. And then what happens was is that Levi dies. And so then Shimon, who divorced his wife, then goes ahead and does the mitzvah of Yibum. And then Shimon dies. So under those circumstances, so the Mishnah says, Zuhi Sha'amru, the Kulin Shemeser discussion, Sarah Sem Mutaris, harkening back all the way to the beginning of the Masechta. So what did we learn in the beginning of Masechta? So if, let's say, you have any one of the Ervas, 15 mentioned in the first Mishnah, if anyone either died or divorced, so it's Sarah Sem Mutaris, so then Sarah would be Mutar. Okay, good. So that is would be a simple example where the brother was married to an Erva, but divorced the Erva, and then discovers a new wife, and under those circumstances, so they were not co-wives. The Erva and the Tsara were not co-wives. And as a result of that, so now Reuven would be in a perfect position to be able to do the mitzvah of Yibum, despite the fact that historically, once upon a time, his brother was married to his wife's sister. Yeah, but that was once upon a time. Meaning, but at the time of Yibum, at the time of Nefilas Yibum, he was not married to his sister, to his wife's sister, and so Shalma Yisrael can now do the mitzvah of Yibum. Good. Really simple, really straightforward. That's funny. That simple and that straightforward. But it is. In other words, once you see the case, once you go over it, so it's really simple and really straightforward. Taima Degiresh, and going back to what we did yesterday. So the Gemara says, so now, when analyzing this Mishnah, so obviously Gerishin becomes a significant part of this whole discussion. V'achakach meis, avameis v'achakach gireish. But let's say first he dies and then he divorces, and as we laughed about this yesterday, we're not talking about the same person because it would be challenging to first die and then divorce a woman. What we mean to say is Shimon and Levi. If let's say avameis v'achakach gireish, let's say first Levi dies. Now what does that mean, Lagabe, the wife of Levi? She now has a Zika. And she has a Zika to two brothers, to the two surviving brothers, Reuven and Shimon. And what are we saying regarding Zika? So what we're saying regarding Zika is that Zika kuknusia. In other words, yesh Zika. That Zika has a marital status to it, has a marital quality to it. So under those circumstances, the Mishnah, by not electing to go with that case, is telling us that Zika is significant. What does that make her, Lagabe, Reuven, and Shimon? And let's just focus on Shimon. It makes Shimon his quasi-wife. Makes Shimon his quasi-wife, so what does that mean? So using the principle of Yezika, quasi-wives, so that means now that the widow of Levi and Shimon's wife, who is currently the sister of Reuven's wife, are now co-wives, and we have Tsaras Erva. Tsaras Erva granted through Zika, but obviously the Mishnah, by not electing to go with that case, is clearly subscribing to the idea of Yezika. And who makes this comment? Ravashi. So, Taima, I'm just starting again. Taima de Girish Vachakach, Mesaval Mesvachakach, Girish Asturam, Ravashi, Tosomers, Yezika, Philip Betrayache. So there's Zika, not only there's Zika, but there's Zika with two brothers. Okay. So, what just came out from that last Mishnah on yesterday's Daf, on the Amud Aleph, is that there is Zika. By the Mishnah clearly electing to go with a specific case and avoiding another case, obviously our Mishnah is subscribing to Yezhika. What's the problem? The problem, as we set up yesterday, and now we're going to continue today, is that there were four Mishnahs in yesterday's Amud Aleph. The first Mishnah, the Gemara concluded Ein Zika. The last Mishnah, we just concluded Yesh Zika. Now again, as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll reiterate today, it's a Machlokas Tanaim, right? We have Tanaim who are on the fence. Well, no, we're on the fence. But the Tanaim who are taking sides on whether or not Yesh Zika, Ein Zika. The fact that the Mishnahs go in two different directions, that in of itself is not problematic. What the Gemara is just noting over here is that we have Stam Mishnahs here in the third paragraph of Yevamos. Where's the Stam Mishnah's position? You would expect a consistent position of the Stam Mishnayos, and certainly in terms of the halacha, so if you have a Stam Mishnah taking a position, that usually informs us what the accepted halacha is. So where are the Mishnayos? So we're conflicted now where the Mishnayos are. Mishnah number one of Lamed Amud Aleph tells us that Ein Zika. Mishnah number four in Lamed Amud Aleph tells us Yesh Zika. So that's why we're confused, and the Gemara is going to try to not make sense of it, but try to tell us which way really the Mishnayos are going. So Ula Rav Ashi Kasha de Rav Nachman. So the Gemara now starts going like this. Well, let's assume that the Mishnayos hold Yesh Zika. So what do I do about Mishnah number one? So Amlecha Rav Ashi. So what Rav Ashi will tell you is who went in Daf Agav the Lo Avad by Maimer. Now you remember in Mishnah number one, so Maimer was done, and we said, why did the Mishnah choose that case? Because if there wasn't Maimer, so then all there is Zika, and Zika is nothing. That was Mishnah number one. So the Gemara says, no. Even if you didn't do Mimer. And the Afag Abdullah Avad by Mimer, Nachris Mechlat Chalsa, Yuvumalomi Avme, still it would be the same result. Bahadiktani Mimer, Lafukebeshamadamar, and Mimer Konikin Yagamar. And the only reason why the Mishnah gave us the case of Mimer is just simply to refute the position of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai holds that Mimer is Konikin Yagamar, as we discussed back on Chav Tes extensively. And what our Mishnah is telling us, meaning our Mishnah, the Lamed Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah over there is, we absolutely reject the position of Beit Shammai, that Maimer is not Kona Kinyan Gomer. Good. That's why the Mishnah gave the case of Maimer. But it really was not litigating Zika at all. Zika was not the issue. The issue was Maimer. And that's why the Mishnah gave the case of Maimer. I should have finished the sentence on Lamed Amud Beis, Delo Ke Beit Shammai. And not subscribing to the Shita Beit Shammai. Ula Rav Nachman Kasha de Rav Ashi. Now we're going to go in the other direction. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that Mishnah number one is informing us that Ein Zika, right? And the diuk in the first Mishnah is a correct diuk. Now I go to the fourth Mishnah, and with the Mishnah we just learned together, the case of Gerushin. Now that Mishnah seems to imply Yesh Zika. And again, I'll just reset it quickly. I know there's a lot to keep in mind over here, but let's reset that fourth Mishnah again quickly. What happened was is that Shimon divorced his wife. Levi then dies. Shimon then marries the widow, Levi's widow, and then Shimon dies. So in that Mishnah over there, it was first the Gerushin, then the Misa. But if it was first the Misa's Levi, so now what does that mean regarding his widow? He now has a Zika to Reuven and Shimon. And the reason why the Mishnah didn't give us that case is because since now Ashes Levi has a Zika with Reuven and Shimon, it's like they're married, and now that makes her Tzara Servo. Through Zika, but that's what it would do. That's why the Mishnah didn't give us that case. And therefore, the conclusion is Yesh Zika. That's what Rav Ashi said. Rav Nachman will tell you, I disagree, obviously. I disagree. So, Ula Rav Nachman, so on Lamed Amud Beis. Now, according to Rav Nachman, so Kashi de Rav Ashi, Bechite Moadin Dafil Meis Vacharkach Gireish, so Tsarasa Muteres. And what do you want to tell me? That the Mishnah is not exclusive, that the Mishnah could have easily gone over the case where first Levi died and then Shimon divorced his wife. So, Ela Zuhi Lamute Mai. Yeah, but read on in the Mishnah where the Mishnah goes on to say Zuhi. This case, what is that coming to exclude? So, Lemu'ute Kanzvachachach Gireish. So the Gemara says, you know what? It is coming to exclude. Meaning, we're going to assume, according to Rav Nachman, that the Seder doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who died first, who divorced first. It really doesn't matter. But the Mishnah's trying to make a point. Yeah, the Mishnah's point over there is a different point. And specifically regarding Kanas V'Acharkach V'Acharkach Giresh. Let's say first he married and then he divorced. Meaning, takes us back to an issue that we discussed earlier in the Masechta. If you remember, that very first Mishnah talked about co-wives. What makes a co-wife? So what makes a co-wife? Obviously, what makes a co-wife is you're married to the two women. But regarding the Halach of Yibum and Tzaras Erva, and the Ptur of Tzaras Erva, where she no longer has the mitzvah of Yibum. When are you Tzaras Erva? So the first Mishnah tells us that, you know when you're Tzaras Erva? If when the two wives were co-wives at the time of their husband's death. Meaning if at a historical point they were co-wives, but then one of them died, one of them got divorced, whatever the case is, and then the man dies, they're not co-wives. That was the first Mishnah. If you remember, at a later Mishnah in the Masechta, it seemed to have suggested that no. Do you know when they're co-wives? It means that when they share the same husband at any point in time historically, even though there may have been a death or there may have been a divorce, but if historically they were sharing the same man, that's co-wives. And what our Mishnah is coming to do, this is what Rav Nachman's about to argue, is our Mishnah is coming to teach us that our co-wives, where he married her and then afterwards he divorced her. So, meaning to say that that co-wives would be even if they were historical co-wives, meaning even though at the time where he died they were no longer co-wives. So Hani Chesavalek Rabbi Yirmiya, the Gemara says, great. That's great if you subscribe to Rabbi Yirmiya Damer Tavra Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu, where Rabbi Yirmiya actually separates the first Mishnah from the Mishnah in Yud Gimel, telling us that there are actually two opinions on this matter, as I just outlined. Then it works out perfectly, meaning there really are two opinions on the matter in terms of what is the definition of co-wives. Either co-wives are they share the same husband when he died, or co-wives just simply mean historically they were co-wives. And our Mishnah could take one of those two positions. That would be great. But do you remember the opinion of Rava? Rava said there is no debate. Meaning, I know the Mishnahs are giving us two scenarios, but they're just two different scenarios, but the halacha is a singular halacha. The definition of co-wives are when they were co-wives at the time where their husband died. And that's the only definition of co-wives. Yeah, the Mishnahs give different examples, but they're just different examples. Zu ve'ein tzarech lomar zu. I'll tell you this example, and then once you know that example, I don't even have to give you the other one as well. So, Katani. Zuhi lamute mai. So the Gemara says, so, if I subscribe to Rava, where there is no debate regarding the definition of co-wives, so then when you get to our Mishnah here on Daf Lamed, and our Mishnah says, Zuhi lamute. Well, it says Zuhi. This case, what is it coming to exclude? Is it coming to exclude the opinion of the definition of co-wives according to Rava? There is no debate regarding the definition of co-wives. So the Gemara says, you're right. So the only way to successfully defend Rav Nachman is by aligning Rav Nachman with Rav Yirmiya. Okay. Now, I admit that requires a lot of thinking. This is heavy lifting in today's daf. Really, yesterday's daf. But it's heavy lifting. The only way to defend Rav Nachman's position is only to line him up with Rav Yirmiya. Ula Rava. Now the Gemara is just going to do the same thing over here, just taking it from the perspective of Rava. Ula Rava. Now remember, according to Rava, there is no debate regarding the definition of co-wives. So Hani Chayisavalek Ravashi. So then it works out great according to Rava if he subscribes to Ravashi, meaning Ravashi, who holds that our Mishnah, the fourth Mishnah, is the Mishnah teaching us Yeshika. So Zuhi Lamute Meis Below Giresh. But if Rava were to hold like Rav Nachman, where Rav Nachman holds Ein Zika, so then what's the fourth Mishnah coming to accomplish? It's not coming to teach us anything regarding Zika. There, according to Rava, there is no debate regarding the definition of co-wives. So now where does that leave the fourth Mishnah according to Rava? Nowhere. So the Gemara says, you're right. So according to Rava, the fourth Mishnah is going to be learned like Ravashi. Notably, it's going to be a referendum on Zika. And then it works out great. Meaning, so now Rava holds like Ravashi that the fourth Mishnah is litigating Zika. Not litigating Zika, just simply subscribing to Zika. And then it comes out now that Rava has a good way to learn the fourth Mishnah. Okay. That was a mouthful. But basically what comes out over here, in other words, the takeaway points over here is that the fourth Mishnah on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's Daf, so either could be understood as it's teaching us something. That's the, obviously, every Mishnah is coming to teach us something. But what is it coming to teach us? So if I could summarize, according to according to Rav Ashi, and as we just added, according to Rava, it's coming to teach us Yezika. That's what it's coming to teach us. That the Stam Mishnah is there to teach us that Zika is a thing. It's more than just a thing. It's kikanusia. It creates a certain type of marital bond. And that means to say that via Zika, if let's say there are there are now co-wives, a woman and an erva, so now they're both going to be prohibited. Good. That's it. That's according to Rav Ashi. That's according to Rava. And there's another Mishnah on Lamed Amud Alf, the first Mishnah, which seems to indicate Ein Zika. Okay, we'll go in a different direction in terms of what the point of that Mishnah is. And then the other position would be the positions of Rav Nachman, and aligned with Rav Nachman also Rav Yirmiyah as well, that no, the last Mishnah is not teaching us anything regarding Zika. In fact, in terms of Zika, go to the first Mishnah, where the Mishnah holds Ein Zika. That's the Stam Mishnah telling us that Zika is not Kikunusia. And as far as the last Mishnah is concerned, what's it coming to teach us? The definition of co-wives. But that only works if Rav Nachman aligns himself with the Rav Yirmiyah, which the Gemara says he does. Okay. Fine. That's the end of a somewhat challenging sugya. We move on. V'chulan. Next Mishnah, Lamed Amud Beis. We're going all the way back to the very first Mishnah. V'chulan, and all of them. All of whom? So all of the service that we talked, all of the arise that we talked about in the first Mishnah. So again, let's reset. Let's try to get our heads clear. So a man is married to an erva, not his erva. Obviously, he can't be married to his erva, but he's married to his brother's erva, right? So he married his brother's daughter. Good. Now, after marrying his brother's daughter, so he also has another wife as well, a co-wife as well. And the man dies, leaving now the brother to do the mitzvah of Yibam, but one of them is an erva and the other one is a co-wife of an erva. So, okay, good. So what we've been discussing now since the beginning of the Masechta is now the erva obviously is not subject to the mitzvah of Yibam. He can't marry her. And then the Tzaras erva is also going to be pater as well. Good. ABCs. That's literally the basics of the Masechta, which we've been discussing since then. Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, let's go back and let's now address the following question. Let's say he was married to a woman and an erva as well. And again, every time I say the word erva, I don't mean his erva. I mean his brother's erva, right? He married his brother's daughter, okay, his niece. Good. But one example. Now, let's say that when he married the erva, so it was kedushin. Oh, it was gerushin, but it was besuffic. In other words, it was a case of doubt. We're going to go over the examples in just a moment. So now, and this admittedly is a little bit confusing, right? We struggled this morning just in terms of keeping everything straight, and I'll try to be as clear as possible. So so in the event now that the marriage to the erva may or may not have happened, so really what we're going to be focusing on is that how is it going to affect the co-wife? Now, as far as the erva is concerned, it's not going to affect the erva at all. Because when the man dies, and these two women now are presented for Yibum, so as far as the erva is concerned, she's an erva. nothing to discuss. But what there is a discussion of is regarding the co-wife. And the real question was she a co-wife? Meaning, was the kedushin or the gerushin to the erva a valid or invalid kedushin or gerushin? So if they were married, so the co-wife is exempt. She's excused. She's now can marry anyone she wants. And not only that, she's not allowed to marry her Yavam because she's Saras Erva. If the marriage was not a marriage, now again, we're talking about the marriage of the Erva. If the uncle and niece were not married, so that now means regarding the co-wife, she was not a co-wife. Well, now what does that tell us? It tells us two things. One, she's not allowed to marry anyone she wants, and she now stands for the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. So, obviously, in the case of Suffolk to the Erva, it's going to really create significant problems for the co-wife.
Suffolk the Oraisa, right? It's a Suffolk the Oraisa, so you have to be Machmir.
Okay, hold that thought.
The Suffolk Kedushin, Suffolk Gerushin is to the Erva?
Correct. The Suffolk Kedushin, Suffolk Gerushin is to the Erva. And what we're now, and now what we're looking at is the collateral effect that it has to the Tzara. Correct. V'chulon shayu b'am kedushin and gerushin b'safek. Hare elu hatzaros choltzos v'lo misyamos. So now, as far as the tzara is concerned, so we are now in a status of suffik regarding the tzara. Was she the co-wife of an erva? The answer is maybe. Yes or no? We are right now, we don't know. As a result of that, what will be the solution? Chalitza, do chalitza. So, choltzos v'lo misyamos, ketzad. So the Gemara says, so let me give you some really simple examples. Suffik kedushin. So in the case of suffik kedushin, how is it a suffik kedushin? He may be married to the erva. Well, how did that happen? So zarek la kedushin suffik karavla, suffik karavla, zuhi suffik kedushin. So let's say he threw her the kesef kedushin. Here you go. And it landed somewhere in between the two. Closer to him, closer to her, unsure. Right? It was a tough call. Okay? And so that would be an example of suffik kedushin. Now, suffik gerushin. Now, what would be an example of suffik gerushin? At this point, what we would expect the Mishnah to say is, he threw her the get. Okay? A parallel case. And by throwing her the get, yeah, it landed somewhere between him and her. Right? Unclear as to whether or not it was closer to him or closer to her. Okay. That's what you would expect the Mishnah to do. The Mishnah does not do that. And today's daf is all going to be on one question and one simple question. Why did the Mishnah just give a simple parallel case regarding the case of gerushin? Okay. It's a simple question. I'm telling you the answer is not going to be easy, but that's the question. Hold that question. Put it on the back burner. Let's go over the cases of what are, in fact, cases of suffik gerushin. Suffik gerushin, kasab ksav yadav ein alav edim. So let's say the get was handwritten by the husband himself, and there were no witnesses. Yesh alav edim vein bozman. Or there were witnesses, but there was no date stamped onto the get. So yesh bozman vein bo ala ed achad. Or let's say there is a date, but it was only signed by one witness. Zeu suffik gerushin. These are examples of suffik gerushin. Now these are examples of suffik gerushin. So the truth of the matter is that, God willing, when we get to Gittin, so we're going to see the Mishnah give all these examples over here. As Rashi points out over here, in every one of these examples, is the get good? Yes. It's an inferior get. Okay. Rashi writes at the bottom of the Mishnah, at the end, the last Rashi in the Mishnah, Yesh alav edim vein bo zman kasav, yesh bo zman vein bo alav ela ed echad, venu ksav yado shabal zu safek gerushin. Darmin ha-Masech is Gittin. So, right, this is a Mishnah in Gittin. Actually, it's well into the Masechta. Get Gimel Gittin Psulim v'im Nises Havlad Kasher. So, these are inferior Gittin, but when all is said and done, despite the fact that it is not an ideal get, if she goes ahead, uses his get to remarry and has children with another husband, the children are Ksherim. They're legitimate children. They're not Mamzerim. So, v'eluhen, and they are, etc., etc. Okay, v'hachenam ichalasa sarasa kevin de gita, who I'm just finishing the Rashi, and you'll do chalitza because when all said and done, the get is a good get. Dimnisays of lakasher v'lo misyabemis. Now, why not do yibum? Meaning, again, we all need to keep clear what is happening over here. What's happening over here is that the husband had two wives. One is an erva to the yavam, and the other is not an erva, and he did this inferior get to the erva. So what does that make the tzara? It makes her now no longer a co-wife. So now, on the death of the husband, so should the co-wife be doing the mitzvah of yibum? The answer would seemingly be yes. And yet the instructions are, no, don't do yibum. Rashi explains, v'lo misyabas, kevin delav gita ma'al yehu, dekari lehu pasol lechatchila, hilka chishar slei amrin aninche, tzara serva misyabemis. Uvigmar bayam aylo naka nami begershin safek karavla. So over here, because it is not an ideal get, so we are not going to allow for yibum. So, and in fact, Rashi points out, because the perception is that the get's not really a get, and in other words, everyone knows it's not ideal, but what everyone doesn't know is that push comes to shove, it is in fact a get. And when they see this woman doing the mitzvah of Yibum, so people are going to think to themselves, the get really wasn't much of a get. And she did Yibum. It must be okay. Must be acceptable. That's what people are going to think. And that's why Yibum is off the table. Okay. What we're going to try to explain as we go through the Gemara is, okay, so I understand why Yibum is off the table, but why leave Chalitza on the table? Okay. We'll We'll try to wrap our heads around that idea. All right, so there's much to discuss in the cases of the Mishnah regarding Gerushin, and that's not what we're going to be discussing today. For further review on the cases of the Mishnah, Ksav Yado, Eid Echad, Nozman, so the Gemara in Gittin is going to be discussing this extensively. What we're going to be talking about today is just one simple topic. It's a simple topic, but no simple answer. And that is that we're trying to illustrate cases of Suffolk Kiddushin and Suffolk Gerushin. So what did the Mishnah give a Suffolk Kiddushin? A nice, simple case of Suffolk. He threw the Kesef Kiddushin. Okay? Usually, you put the ring on her finger. It's nice. It's really easy. But whatever. Here you go. And he throws her the Kesef Kiddushin. Right? Love is in the air. You feel it. So, and it lands. And we're not sure where it landed. Somewhere proximate to her, proximate to him. Unclear. And what did the Mishnah teach us? That's a case of Suffolk Kiddushin. Okay, good. Now what's the case of Suffolk Gerushin? So all of us now would expect same exact scenario. Here's your get. And he throws it to her. And it lands. And we're unclear as to whether it landed closer to him, closer to her. That would be a case of Suffolk Gerushin. The Mishnah does not give that case. Why didn't the Mishnah give that case? Now, if I could spoil the Gemara, I'm not spoiling it, but on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, so Abaye is going to just simply say, fill in the blank, meaning the case of Gerushin would also include a case where he threw the get, and it landed, unclear as to whether it landed closer to him, closer to her. And the Mishnah is just giving us other cases of Suffolk Gerushin. That is a simple way to read the Mishnah. Not only is it simple, Abaye does read the Mishnah that way. However, for the remainder of today's daf, yes, for the remainder of today's daf, what we're going to be looking at is Rabbah's answer to this question. Now, Rabbah's answer to this question is going to be a little bit challenging in terms of following, but we're going to make a go at it. So, V'ilu begerushin suffik harav lo suffik harav lo katani mai taima. Why did the Mishnah give the example of he threw it, it landed, unclear where it landed. Why didn't the Mishnah give that example? Amar Rabbah. So the Rabbah gives now what he believes to be a principled explanation. Meaning, unlike what I spoiled at the end of today's daf, which is, could have given that example. Rabbah says, no. The omission of that example, it was by design. And Amar Rabbah Isha Zubecheskas had to l'shoka medes. Because let's take stock of where we are right now. Where we are is that this man is married to two women. One of them is his niece, and the other one is just some, another woman. So right now, let's freeze frame the moment. This other woman at this point in time, right, when in fact the husband dies, he hasn't died yet, but at this point in time, what is their status regarding Yibum? Ptur. Or to put it in other terms, Muteris Lashuk. And now, he did something which may have resulted in the divorce of the niece. May or may not have. Okay, now, what are you going to do? You're going to change her status based on a suffix. So what Rabbah is arguing right now is that, look, I have a chazaka, I have a suffix, I'm normally going to stick with the chazaka over that of the suffix. Isha zubecheskas het l'shuka medesim misafik hataba la'osro, al teyasren besafik. So, no, don't do that. In other words, keep her chazaka status quo. And she is muteris l'shuk, that was her chazaka, so keep it. And don't let the suffix change the chazaka. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, okay, let's think this through. Ihachi b'kedusha nami. So why aren't we, if you're telling me the suffix is not going to change chazaka, so let's go in the other direction. Let's go in the case of kedushin. Now again, what happened in kedushin? So right now this man is married to one woman, not his niece. And then what he did is that he also married his niece. But you know what? He married her, he threw her the kesef kedushin. And it landed somewhere in between. We're unsure where it landed. Good. So now, what's the chazaka before the kiddushin? The chazaka was yibum. Now what do you want to do with the suffix? We're going to change the chazaka? Hey, how about this? Let's be consistent. If by the gerushin we are not ready to change your chazaka because of a suffix, so why don't we say the same thing over here? The Gemara's exact question. Ihachi b'kiddushin nami. Name isha zubecheskas heter liyabam omedes. Umi suffix ataba laosro, al tasran mi suffix. So don't prohibit her based on a suffix. Okay, so as Rabbah is trying to give a principled answer why the Mishnah did not give the case of Gerushin, of Zarek Law, suffix Karavlo, suffix Karavla, Why did the Mishnah give that example? Because we're not ready to change a chazaka based on a suffix. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's be consistent. Let's say the same thing by Kiddushin. I'm not ready to change a chazaka based on a suffix. So why aren't we consistent? So the Gemara says, Rabba's going to defend his position. Hasam l'chumra. So the Gemara says, no, in the case of Kiddushin, so we're going to be machmir and require chalitza. So the Gemara says, really, you're going to be machmir and require chalitza? Hai chumra dasigli de kulahu. Well, that chumra is going to result in a kula. Okay, so again, this is now the hard part of today's daf. Let's try to keep it straight. What happened was is that he was married to a woman. Then he possibly married his niece, right? That's the case of the Mishnah. And then he dies. And now the question is, as far as the niece is concerned, to the Yavam, it's his daughter. So that's easy, meaning it's his daughter. Nothing to discuss. But regarding the co-wife, is there a mitzvah of Yibum, yes or no? So the Mishnah says, well, let's start with Rabba. I know it's a funny place to start. But Rabba says, well, what was the chazaka before the suffix? The chazaka was there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, good. Now, what are we saying regarding the suffix? Well, we're going to be machmir, and we're only going to allow chalitza, not Yibum. Okay. The Gemara now says, really, if you're going to insert a chumra over here, it's going to lead to problems. Why? Because the Gemara says, Hai chumra dasigli de kulahu. Zimnan da'azu'u. Because what's going to happen now is that chalitza was done. What is that going to give in terms of an impression? It's going to give to the impression that the kedusha must have been a good kedusha. Because why are we not allowing for yibum? It must be that the marriage is a fault. The marriage wasn't good. And what's going to then happen is that you're going to. This man is now going to turn to the sister of this woman and marry the sister of this woman. You're not allowed to marry the sister's an erva. But there was never a marriage. If in fact there was a marriage, so then you would in fact be allowed to do yibum. By us banning and prohibiting yibum, so it gives us the impression that the marriage was not a marriage. So v'inami zimnan dasa acher. Or maybe someone's going to go over to her and be mekadesh her. So the kevan de asola mar letzara liyivume army de kame kedushin udebasra lav kedushin. So the Gemara says like this. So no, because what we're doing is we're not allowing the co-wife to do yibum. So what people are going to say is the following. Now the first one's kedushin was good. And the second kedushin is no good. We're now on the top of Lamed Aleph. So since we require chalitza, by virtue of the fact that we're only allowing for chumra, I'm sorry, we're only allowing for chalitza, so people understand that really all this is chumra ba'ama, it's just a chumra. Meaning, let's go over. So in the case of kedushin, so again, what happened was before the suffix, he was for sure married to a woman, some a woman. And then what he does is possible kedushin to the to his niece. Again, unclear as to whether or not there was or was not kedushin. Then he died. What do we learn in our Mishnah? What we learned in our Mishnah now is, as far as the co-wife is concerned, she's got to do chalitza. She cannot do yibum. The question that we are trying to understand is why? Meaning, aren't we saying chazaka? And chazaka is that really there should be a mitzvah of yibum? Why? Chazaka tells us there should be a mitzvah of Yibum because we're looking at the status quo prior to the suffix. Her status at the time before the suffix was that she's the only wife. Okay. And that means then that there's a mitzvah of Yibum and she should be able to do Yibum. Here comes the suffix. Okay. So here comes the suffix. Suffix will not change her chazaka. The suffix of the possible marriage to his niece is not going to change her chazaka. So the Gemara says, okay, but what we're going to do over here is that we're going to add a chumrah. And the chumrah is that you're right. Her chazakah is that she's eligible for yibum, but we're going to require chalitza. The Gemara says, okay, but isn't it a chumrah which is going to have ramifications? There will be collateral damage by that chumrah. Because if, in fact, what we're saying is that she's doing chalitza, what does that say regarding the marriage of he and his niece? What it says regarding the marriage of he and his niece is that it's not a marriage. Because what does Chalitza say? Chalitza is telling us is that they weren't co-wives. If they were co-wives, there would be no Chalitza. So if in fact we're doing Chalitza, so that's going to now speak to the, it's going to inform, misinform people regarding the marriage of he and his niece. And it's going to tell people that it wasn't a marriage. And that will lead to problems. So the Gemara says no. By virtue of the fact that we're only requiring Chalitza to the co-wife, people will understand that it's just Chumra Ba'alma. Okay. That's where we stand right now. I hachi, as we are now on the top of Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, Gerishinami, Lisnei, Velitzre, Velitzrecha Chalitza, Mediada, De Chumra Ba'almahu. The Imata Omer Chalitzos, I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, so in the case of Gerishin, why don't we have the same conclusion? Meaning, what we just argued is that in our Mishnah, the case of Kiddushin, Safek Kiddushin, so we just argued why it is that really fundamentally, again, this is all Rabba's approach, fundamentally, her Chazaka tells us that she could do Yibam. She's going to do Chalitza? Yeah, as a Chumra Midrabban, because of the Safek. But the Safek doesn't really change her Chazaka. The Safek is just Chumra Ba'alma. So the Gemara says, okay, now, all this was trying to explain why the Mishnah didn't give the example of by Gerishin the same example. He threw the get, unclear where it went, and Rabba's argument should be, well, it doesn't really fundamentally change the chazaka. Why did the Mishnah give that example? And the Gemara now wants to know, why don't we just simply do Chalitza as a Chumra? So, that's the Gemara's question. So, Gerishin Nami, second line down. So the Gemara says no, because in the case of Gerushin, what's going to happen now if we're going to legislate Chalitza as a Chumra? Well, it's true, people are going to legislate Chalitza as a Chumra, but then once people get comfortable with Chalitza, so then people are going to say, you know what? I'd rather not do Chalitza. I'd rather do Yibum. So Hachinami imata omer Chalitzas misya bemes. So the Gemara says, in the case of Kiddushin, why aren't we worried over there? So the Gemara says, exactly. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's exactly the difference. In the case of Safek Kiddushin, meaning our Mishnah's case, so let's say there is a legislation of doing Chalitza as a Chumrah. And what's your concern? Well, if people get used to the idea of Chalitza, so then people are going to do Yibam as well. The Gemara says, in the case of Kiddushin, Rabba will argue, okay, so what? Meaning, because remember, what's the principle of Rabba? And this is what we walk away with from today. Safek does not change Chazaka. You have a Chazaka, Safek doesn't change it. What was their Chazaka prior to the Safek? In the case of Kiddushin? Her Chazaka was, she's eligible for Yibum. Now, there may be a marriage to the niece. And there may be, and she may be a co-wife. That's lovely. Maybe. Her Chazaka prior to that was, she was a candidate for Yibum. The Safek really doesn't change it. So therefore what the Chachamim said is, but because there's a Safek, so as a Chumra, we're going to say Chalitza. The Chalitza may lead to Yibum. Rabba's response is, go ahead. No, it doesn't, that, because fundamentally, she is a candidate for Yibum. Now let's flip that around to the case of Gerushin. You see, by Gerushin now, Rabba, when you really think it through, in other words, it really works. In the case of Gerushin, what was their Chazaka prior to the Safek event? So prior to the Safek event, so they were co-wives. In other words, he was married to two women, this woman and his niece. So now they were co-wives. Now, what does that tell us regarding her ability to do Yibum? Her Chazaka tells us that she can't do Yibum. She is a Tsaras Erva, which is an Erva. So she can't do Yibum. And now because of the Safek event, what do you want to tell me? Well, it might be that she was no longer a co-wife. Might have been that they were decoupled. Therefore, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. But let's not do Yibum. Let's just do Chalitza. Good? So if we were to legislate Chalitza as a Chumra, so then what people may end up doing is, well, Chalitza is an option. So let me not do Chalitza. Let me do Yibum. In this case over here, what's the Chazaka telling me? She can't do Yibum. Okay, so the Gemara says, good. So now the Gemara has constructed an argument. Rabba constructed an argument why the Mishnah does not give the parallel case of Safek Gerushin as it did by Safek Kiddushin.
Hishas Asin Isser Daraisa. That's a very strong by Rava application of Chazaka.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Correct. Correct. And generally speaking, it's true, Chazaka is strong. But over here, the chances are is that she's an Isser Daraisa with an Isser Karis. It's a lot to think about. Eis ve'abaye. So let's now just finish up at least the Amud Aleph of today. Eis ve'abaye nafal abaye salav ve'al bas achiv. So Rachman, it's a real tragedy. The house comes in. The house collapses. And who was in the house? So he and bas achiv and his niece. Okay. And who happens to also have been his wife. And there was also a co-wife who happened not to have been in the house at the time. Ve'en yadu eizem hem eis rishon. So now we don't know who died first. And obviously, that's an important question in terms of what to do now with the co-wife. Meaning, was the co-wife a co-wife or was she not a co-wife? So again, there are two possibilities. I understand there's also a possibility of simultaneous, but we're going to take that off the table. We're going to assume right now that there is an order of death. And now, if the wife died first, so what does that make now? The tzara makes her now not a co-wife. And now she has a mitzvah yibum. If, on the other hand, the husband died first, so he died now leaving two wives behind. She now is a co-wife of an erva. So obviously now under those circumstances, what do? So now chalitza. That's a mishnah. We're going to see this mishnah later in the Masechta. Okay, now according to you, Rabbah, let's plug in your formula and what should come out. So your formula tells me that we have to look at Chazaka. What was her Chazaka? That she cannot do Yibum. Okay, good. In other words, she was a co-wife. And now we have a Suffolk event. And now what's the Suffolk event going to tell us? That really fundamentally didn't change her Chazaka. So that means that fundamentally now, where does she stand? She can't do Yibum. Oh, okay, fine. But as a Chumrah, we're going to legislate Chalitza. Oh, but right? Remember what we just said moments earlier? Yeah, but if you legislate chalitza as a chumrah, it may lead to yibum, and over here, devastating consequences. Meaning, she can't do yibum. Her chazaka tells us that she can't do yibum. So why in this mishnah over here are we hearing together that in such a case you're going to do chalitza? What do you mean? You can't legislate chalitza over here. Chalitza leads to yibum, and in this case over here, yibum would be, it would be arayas. So amai hachanami name ishizu becheskas hetalushukam ezumi safik atabala osra altasranami safik vechite machanami lechumra. So once the Gemara is just spelling everything out, meaning I said it all, the Gemara is spelling it out. Maybe it's over here, it's just a chumra dasili de kulahu. Shimata omer cholesis misya bemis. So, and what's going to happen is that the chalitza will lead to yibum. So gerishin, so the Gemara says like this. Okay. So it's going to be a tough argument, but the Gemara is going to make it. I'm going to make a distinction between the case of divorce and the case of the house coming in. So gerushin d'shchicha gazer b'rabbanan. So gerushin is more common, unfortunately, but it is. And so therefore, the chachamim were concerned, meaning that chalitza will lead to yibum. But ma'apolos lo shchicha lo gazer b'rabbanan. But when the house coming caving in, it's such an infrequent event. So therefore, there's no need to make such a concern over here that the chalitza, sorry. Yeah. That the chalitza will lead to yibum. So inami gerushin dekaima erva dekamuchach vitzarasa kamisrach lech chalitza. So amrei kamu be rabbanim begita degita malya uvasil yibume litzara. So the Gemara says, okay, but in the case of gerushin, so over there, so what happened was is that the get was thrown. The get was thrown, and it's unclear whether it landed closer to him, closer to her. Okay, so even though it's true, it's a case of suffolk. But if in fact we are unsure, but there could be, I know it sounds funny, but I'm modernizing the Gemara just a little bit. There could be a little bit of instant replay, meaning it could be further investigated in terms of what happened, and maybe as far as what people are concerned, what people are saying is, look, the Chachamim looked into it. Investigated the matter a little bit more, and therefore came out with a better result. But in the case of Ma'apolos, Ma'apolos mikamubu rabbanim b'Ma'apolos. But in the case where the house came in, look, at this point in time, there's no more information that can come our way. So another distinction to be made by the case of Gerushin and the case of the house coming in. The Gabi Gerushin Milo Tanan, the Gemara says, now by Gerushin. So didn't we learn the following? V'atanan, Haisa Amenes Bereshus Rabin, V'zarku La, Karov La Megureshes, Karov La Eina Megureshes, Mechsa Mechsa Megureshes Veina Megureshes. So, the Mishnah in Gittin tells us the following. They were in the Rishus HaRabim, right? In other words, nobody's property. Your chaser can be koner for you. It's not, in other words, Rishus HaRabim. And he throws it to her, and it's unclear as to whether it landed closer to him, closer to her. So in that case, Megureshes Veina Megureshes, otherwise known as a Suffolk. Good. That's the Mishnah in Gittin. The Amrina Lamayilchasa. So the Gemara says, okay, and what ramifications? The Ekoin, who Asura Lay. So if a Kohen is not allowed to marry her because she's a Suffolk. A suffix Megureshes. The Erva he Sarasabai Chalitza. So, and if she's an Erva, so that would mean then that the Tsar would require Chalitza. So once again, we are looking at Rabbah. Rabbah, according to you, what do we say? We say that you have to look at the Chazakah. Chazakah really is the most important factor in terms of determining what she is. Over here, the Chazakah is that she was a co-wife with an Erva. Now we had a Suffolk event. The Suffolk event is he threw the ged and it's mechsa mechsa. I don't know where it landed. We're unsure. And so, lamai hilchasa. Now, the Mishnah just simply says it's a Suffolk. And the Gemara there says, what practical application? That if, in fact, there was a co-wife, the co-wife is going to require chalitza. Velo amrinan shimata omer chalasas misi abemis. So the Gemara says, and over there, we don't say that, you know, chalitza will lead to yibam, and according to you, Rabbah, yibam would be devastating. Because yibam over there is totally improper. The chazaka tells us that she can't do yibam. So hayit marla, Rabbah Rav Yosef, darmi tavayu, hachibishtei kitei edim, askinan. So the Gemara says, no. Over there, we're talking about where there are two sets of witnesses, Achas Amaras Karav Lo, Achas Amaras Karav Lo. So, there in that case, the case is that there were witnesses testifying as to where they get landed. Davalei Sfeika Daraisa, that's the Suffolk Daraisa, Umasisan Dacha, Bekas Achas. And over here, we're talking about where there was just one set of witnesses, Davalei Sfeika Darabanan. Here would be a Suffolk Darabanan. So what the Gemara now is trying to argue, and this is really difficult, and Rashi does spend a good amount of time trying to go over, is that it depends on the nature of the suffix. Meaning, even as Rabbah tells you, I have a chazaka, that's really significant, and a suffix's not going to change it, depends on the nature of a suffix. Are we talking about a suffix d'araisa or a suffix d'rabanan? In the case of the Mishnah in Gittin, that's a suffix d'araisa. In our Mishnah over here, it's a suffix d'rabanan. Now, the reason why I know that our Mishnah is talking about where there's only one set of witnesses is because just like the Kedushin case. So the Gemara says, how did you know that? Maybe the case of Kedushin where there are two sets of witnesses, each group testifying where the Kes of Kedushin landed. So the Gemara says, wait one second, just do Yibum? I have a kosher set of witnesses telling us that the Kes of Kedushin landed closer to her. And now you're just simply suggesting, oh, Yibum would be appropriate over there. The Gemara says, and even if there are two sets of witnesses, what kind of suffix are you calling that? You're calling that a suffix da raisa? The Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, Darminan uke trey lebehadi trey, v'isha ukma chazaka. So the Gemara says, when I have two sets of witnesses, each one giving a different report of what's happening, do you know what you do to those two sets of witnesses? In other words, that's called offsetting penalties. Well, sorry, football reference. Okay, in other words, basically they cancel each other out. And then what happens when they cancel each other out? Now we go back to Chazaka. The Gemara says, I'll give you a case study in terms of offsetting witnesses. The case of Barshacha, so he had good days and he had bad days. Okay, and we're talking about his mental stability. Okay, some days he was totally lucid, totally clear, mentally competent, and other days he was mentally incompetent. Okay, and to be sensitive, I'm not going to make the joke that basically describes each and every one of us. So, but over here though, no, we're saying it clinically. In other words, from a clinical standpoint, sometimes he was a shota, sometimes he wasn't. And what happens now in terms of his transactions? So, this is really difficult. Meaning, just in terms of litigating, but in terms of when he had days of lucidity and mental competence, so any of his transactions are valid. On the days of his mental illness, so his transactions are invalid. So now that's and what happened? So Zav Nichse, so he had a sale, and also Beitrei V'Amru, he sold one of his properties. And also Beitrei V'Amri Kishu Chalim Zav and Vasu Beitrei V'Amri Kishu Shota Zav and V'Amri Vashu Ketrei Lebehaditrei V'Ara. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. V'Ara Ukma Becheskas Barshacha. And what I'm going to do with the land is I'm going to maintain it as its status quo. The witnesses now offset one another, and so therefore all we are left with is just simply a chazaka. So where do we stand right now? Where we stand right now in the Gemara is that the Gemara says, look, there really is no way of making delineations between one set of witnesses, two sets of witnesses. In other words, when it comes to a case of witnesses, and if in fact I had competing witnesses, which is what you suggested, what our Mishnah is describing over there, that's not a case of suffig. In other words, what happens is that when I have conflicting witnesses, they just simply cancel each other out. And so therefore, all I'm left with is just simply chazaka. And if you want to tell me that that's what the case of the Mishnah is, well then, the Mishnah in Gittin, which we learned together, in the case of, he threw it to her, mechsa al mechsa, and you wanted to say that that's a case of witnesses conflicting with one another, well, they just simply offset one another, and we just go back to chazaka. That's not the case over there. The case is that we don't know where it landed. That's simply the case. It's not the testimony. We just simply don't know where it landed. And in such a circumstance, it's a suffig erushin. What are we going to do if, in fact, there's a co-wife? So what we're going to do in the case of a co-wife is she will do chalitza. Okay, which leaves us now the question of, Rabbah, you spent an amud and a half. That's a lot of real estate. Trying to argue that our Mishnah here in Yevamos, when describing a case of suffig, the Mishnah by Kiddushin says he threw it to her. Unclear to her in terms of where it landed. Closer to him, closer to her. So what are we going to do now with the tzara of the erva? The suffik kedushin was to the erva. The question now is, what is the tzara going to do? So the Mishnah says the tzara is going to do chalitza. Done. Now, in the case of gerushin, same halacha, suffik gerushin, so also chalitza but not yibum, for the tzara's erva. The only question is, why didn't the Mishnah by gerushin give the parallel example? He threw the get, we're not sure where it landed. Shouldn't the Mishnah give the parallel get? So Rabbah built an entire binyan, an entire building, in terms of how to respond to that question. And his building is predicated on this principle of, I have a chazaka, I have a suffix. Suffix not going to change the chazaka. And as we try to go over that position of Rabbah, it's not a position that we could defend. We have Mishnayos, we have Brisos that tell us otherwise. A Mishnah about the house falling down, the Mishnah in Gittin, about Gerushin, a Suffolk Gerushin, and in both of those cases, Chalitza not Yibum. So really what it stood to do is really it was really difficult defending Rabbah's position. To which the Gemara says, El Amar Abaye, we're now on the top of the Amud Beis, we'll finish today with this, Yagid Alav Reo, Tana B'Kiddushin V'Hu Adin L'Gerushin, Tana B'Gerushin V'Hu Adin L'Kiddushin, Pasuk Aniyov, which the Gemara just basically says, look, you look at its neighbor, and then you'll discover what's happening over here. In other words, just take the case of Kiddushin, plug it into Gerushin. And what the Mishnah also wanted to do is give us other examples of Gerushin. That's all. But in other words, the omission of the case of he threw the get, unclear where it landed, the omission of that case is just simply because the Mishnah says fill in the blank. You could figure it out. In the case of Suffolk Kiddushin, it was unclear where it landed. Same thing is true in the case of the get as well. Okay.